The following is a production of Snake Train Media. This is Urgent Frequency, the Sonic sit-rep for Urgent Fury, the hottest tactical gamer community on the World Wide Web. And now, here's your host, Commander Claymore Fury.
Hoo-yah, Frequency Freaks! I am Commander Claymore Fury, and this is Urgent Frequency for the week of Sunday, March 7th, 2010. This week, Urgent Fury 141 races into week 4 with a few sleeper cells in control and two former champions on the ropes. We'll give you a few hard dates that you might want to pencil into your calendar as we prepare for the return of our Brains and Bullets Teamwork Testing No Boom Tournament event, Urgent Fury Black. After a busy week of noteworthy news in the world of gaming, we welcome Glenn from PS Nation to be part of our Urgent Fury Town Hall discussion about the state of the union of gaming. And after last Sunday's crash of the PlayStation Network, former Urgent Fury staffer Puttytad gets the last laugh in this week's Spoof Ad Flashback. More fun than a human resources meeting at Activision. This is Urgent Frequency.
Hey, this is Glenn from the PlayStation Nation podcast. You're listening to Commander Fury on Urgent Frequency. Keep your boots dry and your hair coiffed.
There are so many things that we take for granted in our lives, but one thing that we should never take for granted are the brave men and women of our volunteered armed forces. Some of these brave warriors have suffered catastrophic injuries. Many are missing limbs or have been badly burned. The Wounded Warrior Project was created to help and support those who are returning home from combat with catastrophic injuries. To learn more, call 877-832-6997.
Commander Fury.
Oh, you men are all alike. Seven or eight quick ones and you're off with the boys to boast and brag. You better keep your mouth shut. Oh, I think I love him.
Commander Fury.
In Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, the story's main antagonist, General Shepard, says that all you need to change the world is one good lie and a river of blood. As we wrap up Week 3 of Urgent Fury's mini TAC map tournament event for Modern Warfare 2 on the PlayStation 3, the teams deployed in Urgent Fury 141 all agree. Nobody likes to be lied to, and more importantly, nobody likes to bleed. We start week 4 with relative newcomers in the 1 and 2 spots as Swift and Rev have jumped down with a commanding lead with 12 territories and 10 territories respectively. In the 3 spot, we find War with 8 territories, OGC, Sho, and IMR all battle it out for the 4 spot with 7 territories apiece. 503 sits alone in 5th place with 5 territories, with 5 of the remaining clans in critical condition. VR, CBF, and Wolf all have only 2 territories each, while 2 reigning Urgent Fury champions find themselves on the verge of elimination as Clan Uprising and LPK each hang on with only 1 territory apiece. We also enter week 4, 3 clans lighter as Skull and Bones, R, and the Ravenfall all find themselves eliminated. Be advised that applications for Urgent Fury Black for SOCOM U.S. Navy SEALs confrontation on the PS3, including new and old maps, officially open up on 15 March 2010. War begins 19 April 2010. When we return, 4 heads are better than 1 as we welcome Glenn from PSNation.org to discuss the state of the union of gaming. You do not want to miss it. And it's next.
Spoof Ad Flashback. Flashback.
When we return, we'll welcome the newest Urgent Fury staff member, and we'll find out what...
Commander! The PSN network's falling!
What the heck are you doing here, Puttytat?
Commander Fury, we have to tell everyone! The PSN network's falling!
You know you're not supposed to be in here, right?
How do these buttons work? What's this light do? We have to warn everyone!
Putty... How did you even find me? Look, the PSN network will be just fine, I promise.
Fine now, but it's going to fall.
Do you have an inhaler or something?
We need to cancel the UF wars.
Why?
Because the PSN network's falling.
Look, Urgent Fury can't just cancel wars because some...
Commander, this is serious.
Buddy, let go of my collar and get your nose off of my nose.
Just... tell them.
Look, tell you what, Putty. How's about you tell them?
Right now?
Yeah, go on.
This on?
Has been, you nut job.
Why are you turning that dial?
Oh, this? It's nothing. It's actually going to amplify you through the airwaves. I'm turning you up. You know, more volume will mean more emphasis.
Testing 1, 2.
Putty.
Oh, attention, UF community. Who I am is unimportant. What is important is that you know the PSN network is falling. This will mean that our UF wars will be disrupted as long as...
There are times when you have so much to say, just so little time.
Excuse me, what?
Good thing there's Twitter. We got you covered with the latest and the most talked about topics. 140 characters at a time. Follow us on Twitter.
Eric, we're talking about potholes right now, okay?
It's not potholes you need to worry about. It's potheads. I know what these people are capable of.
Urgent. Frequency. Frequency.
After what will surely be remembered as one of the busiest news weeks in the gaming industry, we here at UrgentFury.com have decided to put together a four-headed think tank. That sounds like a really good name for a punk rock band. But we're going to discuss the state of the union of gaming and how the recent revelations might affect Urgent Fury and the gaming world in general. Joining me tonight via Skype, our Urgent Fury recruiting liaison and all-around swell guy, Sergeant Joe Friday, Urgent Fury director and racing legend, Shane Bell, and our very special guest celebrating 3 years at the helm of the award-winning podcast for PSNation.org, Half man, half machine, Torgo. He is Torgo.
Wait, award winning?
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant for that to say award wanting.
Yeah. Deserving? No, I'm just kidding.
Award deserving. There you go. Anyway, gentlemen, welcome to Urgent Frequency. Like I said, busy news week. They call it in the business, you know what they call it? A news cycle. That's what they call it. They call it a busy news cycle.
I was not aware of it.
Thank you very much.
Cycle. It sounds like a spin cycle. It's been flying.
Joe, I knew it was going to be out of control. I knew it was going to be out of control. We've got a lot of stuff we're going to cover tonight, including we thought the Mayans had it wrong. We thought that it was going to be February 28th, 2010 was the apocalypse. The writers of the apocalypse were, well, never mind. But we thought it was going to be really bad. It was the PSN crash. Took place on Sunday. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Activision versus Infinity Ward. And what has turned into even CNN's covering this. I'm waiting for what's her name? Nancy Grace to have like a graphic and all that stuff. Then we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a couple of game releases that are going to change things probably on the gaming landscape. And we might even have some sneaky, semi-exclusive stuff we're going to talk about. But let's start with you, Shane. Urgent Fury server issues, the blog upgrade. I basically had to pull out the old computer handbook to figure out what was going on. But tell us exactly what happened with the server issues, and let's talk a little bit about the blog upgrade and everything.
Absolutely. Well, if you didn't notice, the Urgent Fury website has gone down the last couple of weeks, two or three times. And it's because Lunar Pages felt that we were using too many resources. Our site's too popular, I guess. And instead of working with us to find what the problem is, they decided to shut us down and hold us hostage, is the best way to put it. So after much deliberation and argumenting, we had to pay a ransom to get the site back up long enough for us to get our information off of their servers. And we have now migrated to a monster service from theplanet.com. So we have a real server. We're not going to have any more problems again. We've got a crackerjack staff that are maintaining the server for us. And on top of that, now we've got room for our fellow clanmates that need websites and cheap hosting to help offset the cost of what it's added to Urgent Fury, because it's a huge undertaking moving to a dedicated server.
Shane, stop beating around the bush. Why don't you tell us how you really feel?
Well, without being too mean, if you're at Lunar Pages, you need to leave. It's straight corporate espionage on how they held us hostage and forced us to pay $300 to get our information.
Did they send bouncer types to the Urgent Fury offices?
No. Unfortunately, Activision had those guys tied up.
Okay. Oh, director and bus driver.
We had the same thing happen with our original host too. Paul Webb. They just all of a sudden just turned us off. Oh, you're using too many resources.
Would this be called a D plug? If you're
stay away from Paul Webb.
This is a D plug. Anybody else we want to make fun of?
Where do we begin?
Pope.
Where do we begin? I'll tell you where we have a really good jumping on point. If you want to talk about some of the things, well, we'll get to that. Let's talk about not everything's been bad. We've got the server straightened out. What about the blog upgrade? I noticed it looks beautiful. It's wonderful.
Yes, we've been working on this a little in the background secretly, thanks to, of course, Inadub. He found a good template for us. We've been doing a little bit of tweaking to where now Nemesis, when he posts up videos, there's a featured video when he posts the video up. And then, of course, there's the article slider that's showing the newest articles and the ratings, what people are rating the different articles. So it's just a nice, new, smooth look. Not a whole lot on there. There's just a few articles, plus there's the post popular articles and some random articles so you can find anything. And then you can go directly to the categories by the menu bar now. So it's very easy to navigate.
Am I mistaken in thinking that you can get every episode of Urgent Frequency on the blog now? Don't you have it set up that way?
Absolutely. And that's where we feed into iTunes. Like Glenn over there, Torgo, he's got iTunes going and got us beat. We can't even get the featured like he is, but we're working on it.
It takes a lot of money and a lot of just bribery in general to get that.
And a quality scotch. I understand you guys are having scotch parties over there.
Oh, God. that was a different show. Was that scotch, though?
I don't know.
That was Irish whiskey. Oh, boy.
Oh, see, I thought somebody was going to actually send you some scotch for just being...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, see?
Forgot about that. Yeah. Very good. That's a very good possibility.
Oh, I'm glad we cleared that up, Glenn. Let's see. Some other stuff we got to talk about. We got the blog upgraded. The server issues have been taken care of. And that brings us to... some people said this wasn't a big deal, and then some people said that it was a big deal. I don't know if it was a big deal, but I think that it can potentially affect, as some people have speculated, it could potentially affect the future of gaming, and it could possibly define, maybe, in my opinion, how far we can go with content and media and memory and storage and some other issues. That this Sunday, February 28th, around 4 p.m. Eastern, the sky started falling. Like I said, the Mayans had it all wrong. And it's, you know, look, it's bad enough. And I could go on my own rant right now because I'm dealing with the yellow ring of death. I know. It's like somebody it's like somebody died. They put their hand on your shoulder. I'm sorry. But anyway, I'm dealing with the yellow ring of death right now, so that's a whole other issue. But we'll get to that. But on Sunday, February 28th, around 4 p.m., PlayStation 3 users around the world, they got an error, and it's known as error 800-1050F. Correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen. But the error message is, an error has occurred. You've been signed out of PlayStation Network.
You are now screwed.
Hand over. Fuck her up. Nah, it wasn't actually as big as a lot of people let on. I mean, it was, of course, the PS3 apocalypse to a lot of people. But
big if it affected you.
It was not. Well, you know, the funniest thing about that, I was out of town that weekend. And we had actually gotten an early copy of MLB 10 The Show. And I was at my friend's house, and we were on a PS3 Slim. Never even knew this was going on until people started texting me. So PS3 Slims were not affected. It's the older systems, the 20 gig and the 60 gig. And essentially what's going on is there's this little chip, an ARM processor. And actually this happened to Zunes last year, the same bug. But essentially there's a bug in this chip that miscalculates for the leap year, and essentially it thought it was a leap year, and it just freaked everything out and reverted everything back to, like, I think 1998 or 1990 or something to that effect, and totally screwed up the electronic licensing, or the digital licensing, a lot of titles and the trophy database. So it was kind of funny because from what I was told, you could unplug from the Ethernet or unplug from your network And if you hadn't gotten that bug yet, you were fine. But I don't know. I didn't really try, but it was a bug. Sony's going to patch it. They already said they're going to patch it. But it literally just happened to the 20 gig and 60 gigs, the original ones. And, you know, if you're still off, all you have to do is go to your date and time in the settings and say update via internet, and it'll fix everything for you.
But doesn't that, I mean, isn't that a symptom, though? I mean, and of course, I mentioned the yellow ring of death, and Xbox has got the red ring of death or whatever. And but doesn't that, I mean, this is, again, my opinion, but it seems like that is maybe a symptom of a bigger problem. I mean, because to me, that, I think that a lot of people, especially people who have tons of content on their machines, obviously if it's 20 gig, they probably didn't, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, to think that, oh man, I lost, cause I understand some people lost, a lot of their downloads, which I guess you can go back to the store and it's got your your history there, your download history. Don't you think that that there's a – I know I am. I am actually sitting there kind of going, wait a minute. You know, what if there's another bug I don't know about and I lose this and I lose that?
Yeah, it's something that definitely I think everybody should worry about, at least to a certain extent, and not just with the PS3, with anything. I mean, iTunes, I have way more stuff downloaded on iTunes, really, and 360 with their DLC stuff, Steam, all kinds of things. You always worry about – you know, what if they finally take the servers down that kind of manages all of this stuff? What's going to happen? Are they going to send a patch out to make sure that all the stuff that's local to the machine works from then on? Or are you just pretty much hosed and everything you spent all that money on is just not going to be workable? It's a worry, and it definitely was a big deal at the time. And I know I probably would have freaked out because I've got a 20 gig and a 60 gig sitting here and if I would have gone to one and got it and gone, oh, crap, and then gone to the other one and the same thing happened, yeah, I would have freaked. But, luckily it passed. And the funny thing is they didn't release a patch or anything. It just fixed itself.
So you don't think there's a bigger problem lurking out there in the world of, especially, like I said, the way media is delivered these days and the way it's stored. I guess that maybe storage is the biggest question. But when you need your network... I don't know. To me, it just seems like, wow, that's something they probably should have thought of.
But all these games are local on the machine. I mean, I think where things were getting screwed up is when it was trying to sync the trophy database because that sits out in their cloud. Unfortunately, I didn't see what the symptom was and what made it happen, so I can't really say, oh, well, if somebody didn't do this, then it didn't affect you or whatever. I honestly don't know because I didn't see the problem. Because by the time I made it home, I literally got home like a half an hour after everything started fixing itself.
G4 TV actually called it a weird technological spider web that no one knew existed.
but that's the thing. I don't really consider it a spider web because it has nothing to do with the connectivity to the internet. It all had to do with this chip that's in these older systems and the bug in the chip.
Right.
At us.playstation.com, news, consumer alerts. I'll put the link up if you guys want it. Consumer alerts, PlayStation Network status. They did actually release, I guess you call it a statement. It says, as you may be aware, some customers have been unable to connect to the PlayStation Network today. They believe they've identified the problem being caused by a bug in the clock functionality incorporated in the system. It goes on and on, and it explains the actual problem and explains some of the failures, the install of the trophies and things like that. And once again, Glenn, where can they go to get this straightened out? Just go to their settings and set their clock via the internet, right?
Yeah, you just go to the settings, go to date and time, and there's one that says set manually or set via internet. Just use the internet one, and it fixes the problem like in 10 seconds.
Well, there you go. He's in touch, so you'll be in touch.
Yeah.
And there's plenty more stuff to talk about. That's what blows me. This next story, I'm telling you, man, this story is the one I think we're going to be hearing about this for probably the next couple of years. And it may not lead to anything, but there's a lot of potential here. Activision Infinity Ward, by now everybody's heard about this. This is another story, another gaming story that made all of the mainstream media over the last week or so. I think mostly because of the way it happened. Because, I mean, I've been like, go. I've been fired. I even like got mad and like kind of had a Hulk Hogan moment and like threw my, you know, threw my uniform in the guy's face and, you know, and whatever. But I can honestly say I've never been removed from the building by bouncer types. Let's see if we can establish a timeline for this thing. I think it was the day after the apocalypse, Monday, March 1st. Heads of Infinity Ward, I should say former heads of Infinity Ward. I think it was CTO Jason West and President Vince Zampella. So they got canned, which Activision has not had a very healthy relationship. It seems like they haven't had a very healthy relationship with their developers or their studios in the past. I think it was Brutal Legend. Wasn't it Brutal Legend that somebody helped me out here? I think it was Brutal Legend, maybe Guitar Hero as well. They had problems with the guys who developed Guitar Hero. They went elsewhere to develop, of course, Rock Band.
Harmonix, yeah.
What's going on with Activision? What I even understand they're changing their model for Call of Duty and even possibly, I guess, obviously, Modern Warfare. So what's going on over there?
Essentially, Activision's getting too big for their britches, and they see something that's making money, and they've decided that they're going to pretty much... It's going to be their Halo. It's going to be, you know, like Master Chief is plastered everywhere. It's going to be Call of Duty and Modern Warfare plastered everywhere. And, you know, the rumors of that they were making an MMO and this huge adventure game that was in the Call of Duty universe. And but Infinity War has always been fighting with Activision over the fact that they have Treyarch doing the odd numbered games. They've been fighting with them over Call of Duty 3 and World at War, and I've heard from multiple sources and even online and everything else that one of the guys that actually started Infinity Ward ended up getting a promotion and becoming like an executive at Activision when they bought Infinity Ward out. And the word was, over the last couple of years, is that there were only two people at Activision that Infinity Ward would even talk to and deal with. And one of them was him, and another one, I believe, was a producer. I'm not exactly sure, but there's definitely been tension going on for years. It hasn't just been, like, you know, the last 6 months or something. But Activision's just trying to squeeze everything out of it, just like they did with the Guitar Hero series. You know, They put a developer on that had never done a music-based game before, and it was obvious because the latest Guitar Hero games completely stink. And now what do? They got rid of Neversoft. They closed them up. And, you know, they got the money out of it, what they could, and then they just threw it away. It's kind of the Microsoft approach.
Well, it's something I definitely can't understand. And to me, I sit there and go, which, by the way, for those who don't know, Treyarch and what Glenn was referring to is Infinity Ward. They do the Modern Warfare. They call it the Modern Warfare brand now, or at least they did until a couple of days ago. And of course, Treyarch, they do the more conventional World War II shooter. But Activision has now issued their first public statement, which I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, because then Zampella and West turned around after they were canned and decided they're going to sue Activision, not only for breach of contract, but they're also suing for ownership. And again, you guys correct me if I'm wrong on this. For everything that I've read so far seems to indicate that they want the Modern Warfare brand.
I do find it kind of funny that they bought Infinity Ward for $5 million, and Modern Warfare 2 alone is sold, like, way over that. So
just a little.
Well, originally the deal was done for distribution because they just didn't want to do it on their own. And that's actually why you saw for a while when Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 was coming out, they actually didn't put Call of Duty anywhere in the naming, in any of the branding. It was just Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 2, that's it. And Activision actually made them put the Call of Duty back in because it was a marketing thing. Because they were trying to pull that away from the Call of Duty stigma, because World of War did really well, but a lot of people like me really didn't like the game that much. I mean, let's face it, the Nazis versus Zombies thing was really the biggest pull of that game. And Call of Duty 3 was an absolute train wreck. So it was pretty obvious that something was going to blow up, and sooner or later what happened was going to happen no matter what.
Well, what I don't understand, though, is, I mean, just like you alluded to, you have so much success with the game. I mean, I'm sure Activision was getting a piece of the pie. Why dismantle the most successful? You know what I'm saying?
I would say that's the wrong way to say it, because Infinity Ward was getting pieces of crumbs from the pie.
Well, yeah, they never got their royalties yet from Modern Warfare 2. Activision has not paid their royalties yet.
Which I think is part of the, I've got the actual statement. This is Activision's statement. They say Activision is disappointed that Mr. Zampella and Mr. West have chosen to file a lawsuit and believes that their claims are meritless. Over 8 years, it just says an Activision spokesperson, by the way, doesn't have a name. Surprise, surprise. Over 8 years, Activision shareholders provided these executives with the capital they needed to start Infinity Ward, as well as the financial support, resources, and creative independence, etc., so forth. In return, Activision legitimately expected them to honor their obligations to Activision, just like any other executive who holds a position of trust in the company. I can't remember who I was talking to about this the other night, but this has the potential to be one of those moments in this industry, and I don't know if you guys are comics fans, but I'm a huge comic book fan, and I think it was probably the 90s, pretty much the entire decade of the 90s. Comic book artists started saying, wait a minute, I'm the guy that's pushing the pencil 17, 18 hours a day. I'm the guy that's putting this product on the shelves for these comic book companies. And all of a sudden comic book creators said, wait a minute, I don't need a publisher to put out a comic book. I can put out my own comic book. And it seems to me that this has the same potential here. I think that we could definitely see studios saying, why can't we just put out our own game? Because no matter what happens here, I mean, you guys tell me what you think, but no matter what happens, Jason West and Vince Zampella are going to create another awesome shooter somewhere.
Oh, it's pretty funny. I actually personally expect maybe 80%, if not all, of the people at Infinity Ward to leave. I honestly do.
I agree.
I think they're going to follow those guys wherever they go, and if they have non-compete, they're going to find a way around it. But that group is very tight-knit, and actually a buddy of mine, his brother works there, and I haven't really heard anything yet, but you know, they go paintballing all the time together, all kinds of stuff, and they're a very tight-knit group. So I honestly think I think it's pretty funny that Activision's like, oh, Infinity Ward's going to still do all the DLC, and you know, we're still working hard, and I'm sure some the guy that they have going in there, it's like this nothing executive going in there to run the place for a while. I mean, the guy has no experience whatsoever running a game studio. But that's Activision's way. You know, they're very corporate. They're very nothing but money. That's all they think about. And like I said, they're trying to milk the franchise for all it's worth. And you know, Activision was making good money off of it, and so was Infinity Ward. You know, they're owed all these royalties that they haven't been paid yet. And the game was, I mean, it was a sales apocalypse. It was huge. Everybody bought that game, and I just, it's going to be an ugly one. This is going to be a really ugly fight. And
what I think is going to be real interesting is if the judge signs off on this lawsuit, it's going to shut Call of Duty down. It's literally like they're going to have to hit the pause button because they can't do anything. Yep. And that will kill a franchise.
Oh, definitely. This is bad for gamers. It's bad for a lot of people. And really, at the end of the day, you know, ever since Activision bought up Blizzard and kind of corporatized them, I'll say, even though that's not a word, but it is now. You know, people have always been worried about Blizzard and all the other things they took over. And like I said, I think a really good representation of how bad they handle things is the Guitar Hero series. You know, once that series was huge, you couldn't beat it. And Rock Band came out and it had a slow start, but Rock Band's killing the Guitar Hero games now.
Let's talk about what this is going to do for Bad Company.
Bad Company 2 is so good.
And you know what? You're not the first person to say that. I've heard from several different outlets that Bad Company 2, and it really freaks me out because I didn't get on the original Bad Company bandwagon. I heard all these awesome things about it. Hey, it's funny. It's got a good story. It plays good. It looks good. But I have read everywhere, as recently, I think Game Informer even says that Bad Company 2 has the potential to compete with the monster that is Modern Warfare 2.
way better than the first one. I actually really didn't like Bad Company, the first one. I thought it, you know, with the Vaseline camera, it just didn't really do it for me, but quite happy with the second one.
Excuse me, I don't know if it's my monitor or what, but it sounded like you said the Vaseline cam. Did you say the Vaseline?
Yeah, yeah. No, it really, it looked like they put Vaseline over the camera lens when you were playing it. It was like some filter they were trying to use to make it look more war-torn or real. I don't know what it was. But we all called it the Vaseline cam.
But now, would you say, having played Bad Company 2, even though you say you don't like Modern Warfare 2, well, what do you think? I mean, I bet Bad Company 2, though, I haven't played it yet. I take that back. I played the demo a little. It's got to be a lot slower than...
and it's not a single-player game like Modern Warfare 2 is. I mean, Modern Warfare 2, you're really not playing as a team. You're not... It's... Bad Company 2 is more like MAG than it is a Modern Warfare 2. It really doesn't really compete with Bad Company or with Modern Warfare 2, really. The way I kind of see it after some of the epic battles I've had is it's kind of like MAG, but only one section of the map on MAG. You don't have all the other stuff going on around you, but you have your squads trying to, you know, move up this hill when you're playing the rush mode, and you're trying to move forward onto the next objective. And I mean, there's a couple things that aren't very good about it in terms of we haven't found a way to get the squads to be able to talk to each other yet, that kind of thing. So it doesn't really have the good chain of command like Battlefield 2 did on the PC, where MAG actually has that. But it is fantastic, really. You have to be with some good players, though, that play together well, and that will take different loadouts and not just everybody has one loadout. We had an awesome squad the other night, and we kicked some major butt. It took like 40 minutes to do this one match. It was just this epic battle between us and them, and we ended up getting it like right at the very end. But those are the kind of games where you're just like, yes, this game rules. And it's so much better than 43. A tank can actually kill a guy.
What about, is it clan friendly?
It allows you to use a clan tag. But I haven't really seen very good clan support. Now, you can do private matches, though. There's actually, you just hit a button in there, and you can do private matches.
That's the thing we're looking at now, as to whether or not we can incorporate it into Urgent Fury, even if it's just on a small kind of league style, you know, or round-robin tournament style. It obviously, it won't be something we can do with a tech map. But it looks like it's something we might be able to work into a short 2-week tournament or something like that once we get all the bugs and everything figured out.
We'll get Joe into the Urgent Fury laboratories.
I'm right on it. Yeah. Right on to figure it. Out how to get the mic to work on that damn game. It seems like it never seems to work.
Well, there is a tactical shooter out there, and that does have, in my opinion, the best clan support in the history of tactical shooters. It's got great comms. Which both of those things to me are in my opinion, when it comes to tact gaming, are a prerequisite. And
Grand Theft Auto?
If you say Grand Theft Auto, I knew he was going to say Grand Theft Auto. No, I'm going to use the G4 TV joke. Call of Duty Van Halen. That it'll hit you in a second. It'll take you a second. Then you'll go, oh, that's funny. But anyway, there's a franchise out there that and you know what? Ever since the first game came out, they have lied to us. And I'm going to go on a rant here. I hope somebody is listening. I hope the right people are listening with the Infinity Ward thing in mind. Game developers within the sound of my voice. SOCOM 4, of course, was announced as the surprise sequel to the PS3, and Glenn called it. Are we surprised? Are we surprised by that? And are we hopeful? Are we optimistic? Again, noting that they have lied to us from the beginning. They said fall 2010, we're going to have SOCOM 4. Raise your hand if you think we're going to have SOCOM 4 and if it's going to be competitive in the current market.
I do think you're going to get it. In the fall.
My personal opinion is SOCOM's coming home, and that's what makes me happy.
That's the thing. I think everybody in the SOCOM community knew it was coming, but other people were surprised because it wasn't something that they thought it was. Like, well, it's not the new siphon filter? I'm surprised.
Look at my only comment to all of this is
we finally get Joe to talk and Glenn gets all hostile with him.
I just, anybody that comes out and says they're surprised never paid attention, because I mean, back when they turned, when Zipper or Sony turned SOCOM over to those who should not be named, they said that they were going to, Zipper was going to take a turn doing something else. You know, they wanted to create something totally different, and that, you know, they'd get back to it.
Well, so I think people were surprised because MAG just came out.
That's it. Man, these guys can do more than one thing at a time. Wow.
Well, they can because they expanded their team. They essentially have 1.5 teams working there now. So they had people floating back and forth, and I think a lot of people didn't realize that. But I wasn't surprised at all. Like I said, I called it. I was like, oh, it's SOCOM 4. You know, just from the rumblings, even on the SOCOM forums and everything else, you knew I call it actually one of the worst secrets in all of gaming right now is that was being worked on. And the timing is right. I mean, obviously, I think they're just kind of finally folding their hand in terms of confrontation and just moving on. You know, if the DLC did really well, they were planning on bringing out another DLC pack. And I will say, I really like the DLC for confrontation. I think it's better than the regular game. But I think they've finally just kind of washed their hands of the whole thing and just said, all right, let's just move on. Mag's out now. Zipper's already got SOCOM 4 pretty much in hand. And let's just move forward.
My only thought on this whole thing is to think back about how everybody was during SOCOM 3 and Combined Assault and all that, and the exact same conversations people were having about he who should not be named was the same conversation that we were having about Zipper back then, and to hope that Zipper has learned their lesson, knowing in reality they haven't.
In terms of what? I mean, and that's the thing. That's why you guys really, really need to speak about this more than like me. I mean, I'm a casual SOCOM fan, and I'm just flat out afraid to go to the PlayStation SOCOM forums. So,
well, you know, after the great snafu of that interview where they held you responsible,
Of course, I was the face of Sony then. So,
yeah.
What do you guys think that, you know, what are the complaints about Zipper that you have from those previous games coming into this one that you're worried about?
Well, it's like, I can't speak for these guys, but like I said, from the beginning, they have, and it's one of those things. It's like a love-hate relationship, almost like a codependent relationship, because they do have such good clan support, and their community is so strong, and their comms are so strong, and they've got a formula that has worked for years. My biggest complaint with Zipper and Sony in general with this whole SOCOM thing is just their inconsistency. They give you one release date and you're still waiting 8 months later, and then you still get an incomplete game. You know, I don't know. I just think that Zipper definitely dropped the ball, because I think they had a really... I've seen it in the clans, especially in Urgent Fury. I've seen this... You know, they're like the zombies from World at War. They're just like walking around with this. So I don't know. I mean, I just hope SOCOM 4. I hope they do everything they say that they're going to do. And I hope they don't let us down. But Glenn, first of all, man, I just want to say thanks for coming by and hanging out with us. Before you go, though, I understand that you might have, being the former face of Sony, you've got your finger on the pulse of the gaming world. You actually might have a little tidbit of goodness for our God of War
fans.
Well,
like I said, Shane kind of caught me at the last minute here, and I was actually in the process of putting together my review for God of War 3. Actually, by the time you hear this, yeah, it'll be up on psnation.org, and I'll be reviewing it on the show this week as well. But I finished the game. Got it last week, and I am not the biggest God of War fan in terms of the first two. I never played Chains of Olympus on the PSP. But, you know, I have the God of War collection. I actually beat the first one on the PlayStation 2 when it came out. And second one I like, and I just never finished it yet. But, I'm not like, oh, my God, God of War.
But you're so attractive when you do that.
So saying that, this is getting an A+ from me.
Wow.
Wow.
It's...
like 5 out of 5 stars, that kind of thing?
It is perfection. It is, all the gameplay elements have been tightened up. There's no one section of the game where, like in the first two, I would get to the section, like a puzzle section or whatever, and it would just get so damn frustrating, I would quit and I would stop playing it. There was nothing like that in this game. There were some tough parts, but nothing that I would just wanted to throw the controller at. Everything that you see is in-game, and this is the best-looking game on any platform I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Wow.
This new anti-aliasing technique, you don't see any jaggies, you don't see any weird shimmering, nothing. Everything is smooth as silk, and I mean, my buddy was watching it when I was playing it, and he kept saying, nothing's popping in. There's no texture pop-ins. He's looking at everything, and he goes, I don't see anything wrong with this game, even in the background, where, you know, usually you see developers kind of letting things go when it gets really far away. Nothing like that in this. Looking at this, I can't imagine what Uncharted 3 is going to look like. Maybe I'll send you some screenshots after I'm done, because I took a bunch of screenshots today. It's unbelievable. I can't even describe how good the visuals are. It's,
how about sound?
The sound is awesome. The soundtrack is perfect for the game. Voice acting is awesome. You actually have... It was really funny. You fight Hercules, and I'm not going to give any spoilers, but you fight Hercules, and popped up in my head. I'm like, oh, Hercules, it'd be cool if they had Kevin Sorbo for the voice, and it was.
No way. See, that's...
Kevin Sorbo.
That is a great piece of information right there.
I was just like, oh, because the problem is there's no credits in the book, so we had to wait until I was finished with the game, and I'm like, dude, that was Kevin Sorbo. I know it was. And all of a sudden the credits roll, they're like, it was Kevin Sorbo! And I was just freaking out. But great, great voice cast. I mean, they had some great actors. I mean, they've got Linda Hunt like usual. Was in the first two, and the same guy voicing Kratos. And it's not like it's not Pride and Prejudice. It's not this huge epic story. It's an action game, but the story was good. There was no real bad part about it. But oh my God, I mean, the pacing's perfect in it. The lighting is truly impressive. I mean, you'll see shimmering light from behind like an object, and it's all in real time. So if you move around, it moves with it, and all the shadowing is real. There's no tricks in the shadowing. I can't even describe how good this game is.
See, and it's everything that I've heard about the technology that you're describing, and I can't wait to play it, and man, what can I say? If you were here, I'd kiss you on the mouth for giving us that.
Why aren't I there?
Yeah. the world's a cruel place, man. but at any rate, psnation.org. Get over there today and check out the ramblings of a madman.
I guess I shouldn't give away my grade then. Oh, well. It kind of sucks, though, because my save file is actually on my buddy's PS3, so I had to restart the game tonight to get some screenshots. So anything you see in the article right now is going to be just from the first maybe half an hour of the game. But I'm going to post some videos later on the week. Everything's going to be spoiler-free. I'm just going to put some battles and things like that in, some fights, because I don't want to give away any. You know, even though, like I said, the story's kind of light, but at the same time, it literally starts right where God of War 2 lets off. Like in the exact same spot.
It just looks a lot better.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Would you say this is the first game that's actually taken the PS3 and utilized it like it should have?
No, I think Uncharted 2 did that, and I think Killzone 2 did, and in another way, Heavy Rain did. Heavy Rain is outstanding. So we're really seeing some games like that, and you know, now the Gran Turismo 5 trailer that's on the God of War disc, I put that up tonight, and people are kind of freaking out about that. If the game ever comes out, I mean, Gran Turismo 5 is going to be a whole different thing. It's going to use the head tracking with the camera. It's going to be 3D right away. It's going to pretty much every bell and whistle you can think of on the PlayStation 3, Gran Turismo 5 is going to support. But I'm telling you guys, God of War 3, way better than I expected, and I expected a lot.
Still blew you away. That's pretty cool. Well, listen,
actually,
man,
I'm going to go play it some more, but I got to write the review tonight.
All right. Well, get your nimble fingers fired up. And like I said, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
PSNation.org. Please go visit him. Half man, half machine. Thanks for being here. Friday, thanks for being here, buddy. Thanks for being here, Shane. Thanks for hanging out. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, you can email them to me at CommanderFury@UrgentFury.com. Also, don't forget, you can network with us via Twitter, the official Urgent Fury blog, Urgent Fury Unleashed, and of course on our brand new web channel on YouTube.com. Urgent Frequency was produced this week by Shane Bell, Andy Rasmussen, and Patrick Gross, and right here in the studio by Allison Armstrong.
I am Commander Claymore Fury. Till next time, keep your feet wet and your powder dry. Hoo-yah!
On the passenger side.